So we're in a series called One Thing. And writing this message, I couldn't help keep thinking about the number of times my wife Jamie has called me on my way home from work and said, can you stop by the grocery store and pick up one thing? Just one thing. Now, normally that's followed by, and can you get a few other things? Which I'm like, of course, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to pursue you. Remember our marriage series? And so, you know, I go to the store, you know, great intentions. And I can't tell you the number of times that I have come home and I forgot what? The one thing. How do you forget the one thing? It's like, maybe you're like me. You know, grocery stores are so smart. They put the one thing you normally need in the back of the store. So you're walking through the aisles and they do this on purpose. Tons of distractions. Oreos, cookies, chips. You know, I can come home with all sorts of things. I just forgot the one thing. You ever been there? I think the Christian life is sometimes like this. God gives us some one things, some priorities in our life, and yet Satan throws all sorts of distractions. The world throws all sorts of distractions, and we can have a lot of things in our life. We're just missing sometimes the one thing. And the goal of this series is we're just looking at a few instances in Scripture where God uses the phrase one thing. And in almost every instance that you see the word or phrase one thing listed in Scripture, it's God telling us, this is a priority I want in your life. And you're gonna have to push aside some distractions oftentimes to get this one thing. And the goal of this series is that all of us would maybe walk away with one thing that we may be missing in our faith. And today we come to a passage of Scripture where David, a man after God's own heart, in Psalm 27, uses the phrase, one thing. Psalm 27, verse 4, David says this. One thing, everybody say one thing. One thing I ask from the Lord. This only, this is it. This is one of the most single-minded statements in all of Scripture. This one thing I seek. You're like, if God asked you, you can have one thing. What would you ask for? Some of us, more money, more power. Hey, give me a wife. I don't know. Listen to what David asked for. He says, God, I just want one thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why? To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Here's what David is saying. God, I just want one thing. I just want to be in your presence in the house of God, because that's where I can see your face most clearly, and it's where I can seek your will for my life and hear it most powerfully. Now, this was written in the Old Testament, and I told you in the marriage series, testament just means covenant, so it's the old covenant. So in the Old Testament, where was the house of God? Where was it at? If you know the answer, you don't need to know the answer. David actually tells us in the verse, he says, the house of God is in his temple. There was a temple in the Old Testament, and this is where we got to experience God's presence most powerfully. But now we're in the New Testament. Jesus came, died on a cross for your sins, rose again, did away with the temple and its sacrifices. So if I asked you today, what is the New Testament equivalent of the temple? What is the New Testament equivalent of the temple today? What would you say? Now, up until recently, I would have answered maybe the way some of you may have answered, especially if you raised in church and know a little bit of Scripture. I might have said, like, well, doesn't the Bible say our body is now the temple? Like me? Let me read you where that comes from. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, don't you know that you yourselves are what? God's temple. You're like, there it is. And that God's Spirit dwells in your midst. And the way many people have read this verse is they think, well, God dwelling in my midst, it's about me. My body has become the new temple. Did you know, reading this verse, that is not what Paul's saying? He's talking in context of the body of Christ, the church, and this is why you can't ever take one verse out of context. You need to read the whole entire context or you can get confused. And so what Paul's talking about is he's talking about the body of Christ, not my individual body. Now listen, of course, when we accept Jesus and we become a follower of Jesus, God's Spirit comes into us. That is true. But that is very different than where we experience God's presence most powerfully, which is in the church, the body of Christ. And I think you'll see this even more clearly when I show you this verse and point this out. Watch this verse again. This verse, do you know all those highlights, you yourselves, your, did you know every single one of those is plural? It's not singular. It's not an individual. This is plural. In other words, if Dave Stone was here, you know, our other teaching, one of our teaching pastors, Dave Stone, he's from Kentucky. If he was reading this verse and in maybe like his version, he might say this, don't ye all know that ye all are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in ye all's midst? It's a very bad impersonation of Dave Stone. He will correct it next week, I'm sure. But this is literally what we're being told. It's not you that are the new temple. It's us together, which means in the New Testament, where God's presence dwells most powerfully is when we gather, just like we're doing today in the church. Maybe understand it this way. Of course, God's Spirit dwells in you, but do you have every gift of the Holy Spirit? No, we're told that individually, we maybe have a few or some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but we don't have all of them. But together, we have every gift of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is multiplied, manifested in our presence. And that's why God, David's just crying out, oh, this is where in the church with God's people, this is where we experience God's presence most powerfully, is in the local church. So I want to ask today, what David cried out, God, the only thing I want, my one thing is to be in the church, to be in the church, to be in God's presence. I want to be in the church all the days of my life. Would that describe you? Let me ask it more clearly. When planning your week, is coming to church your first priority? And the answer for some of us is simply no. Now listen, if you're here and you're new, you may not even be a Christian, and we are so glad you're here. We exist, man, to help people find and discover Jesus. You can be in all walks of life. If you're new to church, we don't expect this to be your first priority. But for Christians, did you know all the stats say in America today, for Christians, the church has become a lower and lower and lower priority? Let me show you some recent stats from the Gallup organization, very reputable organization that surveys Americans. This is the percentage of Christians. Think about this. This is Christians who attend church regularly. The green line up top has gone from the year 2000 down to about 20% of Christians today attend church weekly. Think about that. The bottom line, blue, is those who attend monthly, which is a lot of people today, 1 out of 4 weeks. Every once in a while, as long as there's not another priority in my life, that's down to about 10%. And the line that is the most concerning is the red line, which goes straight up like a hockey stick to now 30% of people that would call themselves Christians never attend church at all. If you asked me, your pastor, what is the one reason our country in America has fallen so far away from God? I would not point to all the issues out in the world today, as many as there are and as many things that are going wrong. I would point internally to Christians that have fallen away from the body of Christ and have not made church a priority. So I have one goal for this message today, and that is to challenge you to either commit or recommit to being in church, the house of God in the New Testament, where God's presence dwells most powerfully every week. No excuses. Because I think that would change our country and our city and our families and our marriages and our kids, maybe as much as anything. And so to do that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start very simply today by defining what is the church. I think we have to start there because this definition has been messed up. So if you're going to prioritize the church, first you need to know what is the church? Like, what does it mean? The church throughout the New Testament is primarily one word that's used to, that's translated as church. It's the word ekklesia. Everybody say ekklesia. Ekklesia. What ecclesia means is it means a physical assembly or gathering of people with a shared purpose. It is a physical gathering, never of just one person, multiple people with a shared purpose. What is our purpose? Jesus. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we're told that there's four things that always happen in the church. When the church gathers, there's a teaching of God's word, there's fellowship or community, there's communion, because we want to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, and there's prayer. This is what happens in the gathering of the local church. Now, I heard someone tell me recently, they were listening to a pastor, and the pastor said, well, you know, the term church is only listed three times in the New Testament. I go, oh, no. You better study a whole lot more. Because the word church, ecclesia, is used 117 times all throughout the New Testament because it's God's plan and purpose for your life. And somehow we've just missed it. And man, you might say, well, is the church a building? No, but it needs one. Think about this. For the church to gather, right? I mean, in the New Testament, and even today, you want to gather outside in the elements where rain could rain you out, or you know, lightning could strike somebody. Or in Phoenix, there's 120 degrees, you know, weather over the summer. So in the New Testament, the church has always had a roof, and it's continued to always have a roof, even if that roof started with the church. Did you know at CCV, our church started in a house? What do you do when you outgrow a house? Well, in the New Testament, they ripped the roof off a house because it was so crowded and they wanted to let someone else in, which you're like, that's awesome. Yeah, as long as it wasn't your house, right? So, hey, what we have to do as a church, if we want to keep reaching people, changing our city, changing our country, is we have to continue to open up more buildings and locations so more people can find Jesus. Amen? That's what we have to do as a church. That's what we're going to continue to do as a church, is we're going to continue to keep launching campuses so we can reach more people. Now, there's all sorts of different ways of doing church, but man, we have to keep having buildings where people can gather, because the church is a gathering, a physical gathering of people. Now, given that very foundational definition, why have so many people walked away from the church, or they're just not prioritizing being weekly in the church? I'm going to give you four reasons. I'll give you kind of a bonus fifth at the end. But if you're taking notes today, here's reason number one. People say this: my faith is personal. I don't need the church. You heard this before? I talk to more and more people when I say, hey, what, you know, they're like, I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. I'm like, oh, they're like, yeah, my faith is personal. My faith is personal. And again, it can sound kind of good, right? What if Jesus told you it can't be personal, you need to be a part of the church? Like, you can't separate those two things. Well, let's just read the words of Jesus. Luke chapter 11, verse 23, whoever's not with me is against me. You're like, Jesus, I'm not against you. I'm for you. I'm a Christian. It's just personal. I do it on my own. Jesus goes on to say this, and whoever does not gather, what's ecclesia mean? To gather, whoever doesn't gather with me scatters. It blows me away. Jesus connects these two things. You can't say you're with me. If you're not with me, you're against me. And if you don't gather, you are scattered. Now, the language Jesus uses here is kind of for a flock of animals, because he's the good shepherd. He wants his body to gather together. And with a flock of animals, when a lion attacks, and we're told in scripture that Satan is like a roaring lion. Lions come from the cat family, which I keep trying to tell you as a church, you know. But when think about this. When a lion attacks a flock, what animal does it go after? The one that wandered, the one that scattered off by his own. And we wonder why there's so many people hurting around us, because they're scattered and they're not gathered. Gathering as a church is the glue to your faith. It is a priority, and Jesus said so. Now, transparently, I would tell you, there was a season in my life I actually stopped going to church. And when it was, is actually I was in Bible college. And it's pretty sad to say, but what I began to do in Bible college is I began to substitute church for my personal study in God's word. I was studying God's word all the time, and that my personal study of God's word became a substitute for gathering and being a part of a church. And many people do this today. And I just want to tell you, in Bible college, I was learning more about Scripture than I ever had in any other time in my life. And I was more empty and had more darkness in my life than any other time in my life. Because you are not designed for your faith to just be personal. It was designed to be corporate. Let me put it this way. Your faith can be personal, but it can't be isolated. There's no model for an isolated Christian just doing it on their own anywhere in Scripture. In fact, there's one analogy Jesus gives us throughout Scripture that I think helps us understand this. And we're told that the church is like a body. Did you know that? Well, let me read it for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ, which is the church. So the church is kind of compared to, think about your physical body, how your physical body has so many different parts, right? You have so many different parts. You have the head, you have the eyes, you have a nose, you have the feet, hands, ears. And I love this analogy that Paul gives us about the church being a body, because no part of your body was ever designed to be disconnected from your body. Otherwise, it's weird. It's odd. Like, I'll just give you an example. Look at my ears for a second. Do my ears look odd or off at all? Be nice. Be nice. Some of you are like, they look hideous. And I maybe so, but, you know, there's all sorts of different shapes and sizes. But let me just say, if I disconnected my ear, how weird does this look? Some of you are like, that's amazing. Did he disconnect his ear? No, this is a fake ear, okay? But I'm just saying, I'm just telling you, is this not unnatural? Is this not weird on steroids? I mean, this is creepy, and it's worse than creepy. What happens to any body part disconnected from the body? It dies. In fact, that's why doctors rush when a body part's been removed. They rush to reconnect the body part because they know that you'll die without it. And we have Christians everywhere dying on a vine because they're disconnected from the body of Christ. It's unnatural. God never, ever intended for you to be disconnected from the body. It's the only way you'll continue to grow and not die in your faith. Which leads to the second reason so many people are kind of disconnected from church or don't prioritize church, and here it is. Number two, I watch online from home. Isn't that church? Got a little quiet. So many people today are substituting a gathering with, I'll just sit at home by myself and watch online. Now listen, we love our CCV online platform. We broadcast it every weekend. It's available throughout the week, and we love it because we know it's a great tool. I mean, for example, there's so many of you online right now, and you're watching because you have a sick child at home, you're on vacation, you're traveling for work. Hey, we have people in remote parts of the world that don't have a Bible-based church near them. For example, we have military people right now watching. They watch every single week. And can we give it up for our military that are like serving our country, protecting us? We love you. Like there's so many reasons that we love our online platform. In fact, some of you right now watching, we know there's so many people that check out CCV online before they ever show up in person. And I get this because they want to show up and make sure there's nothing weird going on. You know what I'm saying? Weird, like, and so I get that. And listen, we want you to check it out so that you can eventually be here. Our online platform exists to get people into physical community in a church. In fact, we say it this way. Our online platform exists as a screen door that people can look through to eventually be able to come through the front door. And the front door is gathering with God's people in the local church. I want to talk to the person, though, for a minute that you're living online or you use online a lot because it's purely out of convenience. Like, you watch online because, hey, I don't have to drive to church. I can sit in my pajamas. I can drink coffee. I can eat some popcorn. It's pretty great, you know? And a lot of people are using this more and more as a substitute to just stay at home. And the question I want to ask you, if you know you do that sometimes, or maybe you're doing it right now, and you're like, oh, no. Listen, I'm not trying to judge you. I'm gonna challenge you. I want to ask you a question. Is attending online church? Now remember, what's ekklesia mean? A physical gathering of multiple people, not one person alone. But I think the analogy that makes this even more clear is the analogy we're given in Scripture that the church is like a marriage. Do you know we're given this analogy? In Ephesians chapter 5, we're told that Jesus calls the church the bride of Christ. If you told me, hey, Ashley, I love you, but I don't want nothing to do with your wife, Jamie, we're going to have a problem. So Jesus says, listen, Jesus calls the church his bride. But I want you to think about that analogy of the bride in just a minute, and I want to ask you a question. I want you to answer honestly. Could you have a marriage that exists primarily online? What's the answer? It's actually yes. You could have a marriage that technically only exists online. Like, for example, I could move to Indonesia, Jamie could stay here in Phoenix, and we could just have a relationship where we just FaceTime each other and we just kind of talk online with each other. We could kind of stay married and we'll just see each other on Christmas and Easter. You know what I'm saying? We could technically have a marriage that exists completely online. Let me ask you a question. Would it be a good marriage? It'd be a disastrous marriage. You can't have a great marriage without your proximity and presence with each other. And what David is just telling us is he's like, God, I want to dwell. You know the word dwell means to be physically present there? David says, God, I just want to dwell in your presence, in your house, all the days of my life. That has to be our priority as well. Let me say it this way. You don't technically have to go to church to be a Christian. You don't technically have to go home to be married. What you love will fall apart without your presence, and you know it. I struggle sometimes to have adequate words. When I was praying with our elders about this message, I told them, I said, I have inadequate words to explain what happens when we gather the Holy Spirit's presence. But my prayer for you is that for those of you that are there or here that maybe aren't here all that often, that even today you would feel the presence of God in this gathering with other believers that you do not get on your own, and you know it. Could happen during worship, could happen right now. It's just all I know is God's Spirit. I put it this way. All I know is in the church, the Holy Spirit moves supernaturally when we're together physically. Anybody remember COVID when we all went online? What a mess. And I remember gathering back together for the very first time, and there were tears in the audience. And sometimes you couldn't explain it. It's because God's Spirit, remember, God's Spirit is manifest and multiplied when we gather together as a body together. So even in Acts, when the church was born, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the Holy Spirit came down on the church for the believers for the very first time, it says this, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, all the believers were meeting together where? In one place. And that's when God's Spirit moved most powerfully, is when we're together. So if you're online right now, and you know you're existing online, and there's a CCV campus near you, I want to challenge you to get back to a CCV campus and gather physically. You need it for your soul and your spirit. Now, if you're a part of the state or our country or world where there's not a Bible-based church near you, by all means, like, keep watching online. But if there's a Bible-based church near you, you can still watch online CCV, but please get plugged into a local church so you can be physically present. And for those of you that are new or you're checking out CCV online, please stay as long as you want online. But eventually, we want you to be here with God's people. Even if you struggle socially or with some anxiety or shame, like we want you here because this is where God can move most powerfully in your life. Don't let online be an excuse. You got to be here physically. Now, the third reason so many people don't come to church is this, and you know it. I don't go to church because it's full of what? Hypocrites. There is not a church in America or the world today that is not full of hypocrites. Why? Because every single one of us is sinners. And there's only one perfect person that has no hypocrisy in him at all that has walked the face of this earth. And who is it? Jesus. In fact, don't look now.
I don't want to make a big deal. Shh. I see a hypocrite right now. And he's on stage talking to you.
Okay? It's me. You guys, when I preach to you, you know that whether I'm preaching or one of our teaching pastors or even our campus pastors or any of our pastors, we like to speak vulnerably to you and share our own sin and our own mess ups because we don't want you to ever confuse a pastor for Jesus. Ever. We're not Jesus. He's Jesus. And we are simply servants that are very broken, trying to just point you to Jesus. But man, don't get this mixed up. Of course there's hypocrites in church. We're all sinful. Every single one of us. In fact, if you find a church where there's all perfect people and there's perfect pastors, don't go there. Because you'll mess it up. And I would too. I would too, okay? And the idea that, hey, I'm not going to church because there's hypocrites there. That is less logical than you maybe have thought it through. Let me give you an example. What if you use that logic in every area of your life? What if you showed up to the gym because you're a little out of shape, like some of you did in January, and you showed up to the gym and you're like, what in the world? There are out of shape people everywhere here. There's hypocrites. Babe, let's get out of here. I mean, even the people that are in shape, right? I mean, like, what if you're in shape? Like, you're ripped. Like this. You know I'm not ripped. But I'm just saying, like, even the people that feel like they're really in shape, you know they have junk too. We all have junk. I don't go because there's hypocrites. You'd never show up to gym. You'd never go to school. You'd never show up to work. In fact, in the church is like a gym. There's people here from all walks of life in all different shapes and sizes, and we're all just trying to get better and chase after Jesus. And we're going to hold our judgment because, man, all of us have our stuff. In fact, if you use that analogy, I won't go anywhere where there's hypocrites. Imagine walking into a hospital. There's sick people here. In fact, there's some people that died. Yeah, the church is kind of like that. The church is not a country club for Christians, perfect Christians, and there's no perfect Christians. The church is a hospital for people that desperately need God. So do not allow the excuse, there's hypocrites there. If you use the excuse, I can't go because there's hypocrites there. Listen, there's always room for one more. And you're welcome here. Here's the fourth reason. This one's hard. I don't go to church because I've been hurt by the church. If you've been hurt by the church, I just want to look you in the eyes and I just want to say I'm sorry. And I know I can't say I'm sorry on behalf of the person that hurt you, but I want to say that I'm heartbroken the number of Christians I talk to that have kind of walked away from church or not really engaged in a church because they've been hurt by the church. And hey, maybe you're hurt by someone here at CCV. Maybe you're hurt by me. I'm so sorry. So sorry. Jamie and I have a friend that still isn't engaged in church. And one of the reasons why is because she experienced church hurt so deeply as a young teenage girl. As a young teenage girl, she got pregnant. And the church she was going to, the pastor brought her up on stage and made her tell the whole entire congregation. And I just want to tell you, that kind of stuff, it eats at me and breaks my heart because I know that so many people have experienced some tough things in church. There's people in my position that have done horrific things. There's people in my position that have had scandals. I get this. I want you to know here at CCV, I'm going to try to live with as much integrity as I possibly can. And our pastoral staff, we're trying to live with integrity with everything we can. But can I make you a promise? If you're here at this church long enough, we're going to do something that disappoints you. We are going to do something. I'm going to say something. I'm going to do something. I'm not going to do something that you think I should do. And it may cause you to be disappointed or even have some hurt. And I want to challenge you to be careful that you don't confuse a person in my position with actually the entire body of Christ. Be careful doing that. I am not Jesus. Jesus is Jesus, and this is his church, not my church. And sometimes we confuse this, and again, I'll go back and maybe just use an analogy that Jesus gave us again. He said, remember he said that the body of Christ is like a marriage? The church is like a marriage? Has anyone here ever been hurt in a marriage? Yeah, if you've been married, all of us have been hurt. In fact, it was years ago. I think I may have told the story one other time, but I got home from work. It was over the monsoon season, and I got home from work, and I looked in the backyard, and a bunch of our trees were laying down on the ground, like about ready to snap. And I freaked out. I like jumped into action. I ran in the backyard. I went and I was like, Jamie, get over here. I'm calling for Jamie. I run out there. I'm holding the trees up so they don't snap. And I realize I got to go get some stuff from the garage to restake them. So I'm yelling at Jamie, Jamie! And nobody's coming. So Mr. Impatient, I'm like, nobody's coming. I drop them. I sprint in the house as fast as I can. I round the corner. Jamie was coming. I didn't see her. I round the corner and I plowed over her like a linebacker. I mean, I hit her so hard. She hit the ground so hard, which is bad enough, but I'm ashamed to admit, I looked at her and kept going. I thought, she's probably fine. And she only needed 12 stitches. It's not like a big deal. I'm joking. She didn't need stitches, okay? But our marriage did. Okay. Some of you have been plowed over in a marriage. It's not a joke. It's real. Like, you went through a divorce. You were abused. I mean, it was rough. Rough. You wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy. Let me ask you something. If you were hurt in a marriage, listen, marriage didn't hurt you. A person did. And sometimes you can mess up and combine those two things when they weren't designed to be combined. The person hurt you, not marriage. It's the same thing in the church. The church is the body of Christ. And if you were hurt by a person in the church, listen, if you were hurt in a church, the church didn't hurt you, a person did. And sometimes you can take a person or a pastor and confuse them with the whole body of Christ. It's not the same. And that can mess you up. So clearly, I want to say, don't walk away from the church because of a person or a pastor or a leader. You got to plug back in, because Satan's greatest strategy in your life to pull you away from God is to get you out of the body of Christ, and he'll do anything he can to do that. Now listen, some of you, it's not church hurt or hypocrisy, or you're just making it personal or online that's your issue. You know what your issue is? It's kind of a bonus fifth. You just say, I'm too busy. I'm too busy to make church my priority. And so you got work, and you got your kids, and you got club sports, and you got your hobbies, all sorts of things going on, and it's just not a priority. And I want to just challenge you today. You will make time for anything that's a priority in your life. And the issue isn't that you don't have time. The issue is, like David, you haven't made this your one thing. And God says this has to be your one thing, or you're not gonna flourish in life or in your faith. That's why some of you are dying in your faith. That's why you're empty in your faith. So let me ask again, when planning your week, is coming to church your first priority? David tells us, don't do it out of obligation or even out of obedience. He said, there's another reason. Can I read the verse for you again? One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why? To gaze on the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple. Because when I'm gathered, that's when I see God's face. Yeah, you may see God's fingerprints in nature, but you can't see his face unless you're in the body of Christ. This is where you see it, experience it, and to seek him. It's where you find God most clearly. You have to make it a priority. David goes on to say this in Psalm 92, the righteous are what? Say it out loud. Planted. Say it one more time. The righteous are planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of God. You plant and you don't move. No matter what, if you want to flourish in your faith, the gathering is the glue to your faith. So there's one of three people here today, okay? One is, you've been planted. This whole time you're like, yeah. If you've been planted, you're here weekly, like consistently. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being such a big part of what God's doing in our church. But there's some of you here today, and secondly, that just be honest. You're not as planted as you should be. There's other things that get in the way of gathering with God's people, and it's your kids sometimes. It's a hobby, it's work. And I'm telling you, all those things would get better in your life if you would prioritize this one thing. So I'm gonna challenge you to rid the excuses in your life, and for 2025, make this your one thing. There's a third group of people, and it's just those of you that are new checking out church. Listen, if you're new checking out church, keep coming. And I know this may not be your one thing yet, but if you would just prioritize being in the body of Christ, you might just be blown away at how God is gonna speak into your life and change your heart and make everything in your life better. I want you to hear the story about a woman in our church that last year made this her one thing. And then right after that, we're gonna sing a song that's become maybe one of my most favorite songs that we sing in our church right now. And I wanna sing it and let you kind of sit in the moment to just ask God, God, do I feel your presence right now? And what do I need to decide today? Do I need to make this my one thing? God, what are you saying to me? And I love this song because it talks about good plans God has for our life. And these words are used in the song. God has good plans. He pushes out fear when we dwell in the house of God.
My name is Aubrey. I attend the East Mesa campus. I've been attending for about 3 years. It'll be 3 years in March. I am a single mom. I run our single moms group here at the East Mesa campus. I have six amazing kids. Three of them are grown and three are still in the home. It was end of 2023 as I was just getting ready to set my goals for 2024. You know, I was talking to my kids and I said, we need to set some goals. And I wanted to make sure we had like a spiritual goal as part of that and a family goal. And I was like, what's a goal that we can focus on that's maybe we can actually meet for the whole year? And so I just thought, I said, you know what? We're gonna attend service every week for the whole year. Let's make this the priority. And they're like, yeah, let's do it. My kids love the games and the worship and singing and dancing they do in LK. For me, I just love when we're walking up to the lobby, people will come and greet us, or the kids will run and give their friend a hug or whoever. And I just love it. It's like a sense of relief because it feels like home. It feels like family. Sometimes, you know, a friend and I will sit around and we'll just kind of talk about our week while the kids are playing, and making time for that on the weekend really does kind of set your week up to be amazing and focused and really Christ-centered too. We made it 50 weekends, just the two where the kids were just too sick to make it. We couldn't go Saturday or Sunday. And so we just watched online. 2024 started out great. I had a great job and, you know, we're attending church regularly. Everything was, from my perspective, good. Like we weren't struggling financially. I wasn't worried as much about just little things like that. And then about partway through 2024, I unfortunately lost my job. And so I'm like, okay, how am I gonna make ends meet? There was a lot of uncertainty. How am I gonna pay for this? How are we doing this? Like, where are we gonna live? Do we need to sell the house? Like, what am I gonna do next? And I just kept believing that God will provide. I'm pretty sure that week at church they played from Foundation, which is where it has I've Still Got Joy and Chaos. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I just have to keep my head up, you know? Like, I can sit here and I can be sad and cry about it, but like, I truly, truly feel like if I just put my trust in God, put my faith in God, we're gonna get through this. And so each week, I feel like I came to church and I was just like, okay, God, like, give me the answers. I feel like I just have to keep being positive. I have to keep trusting in God, keep praying, because I truly believe He has a plan, and I wish I could get like bullet points of what that plan was, but I'm gonna keep attending church and I know that it will unfold. Last year was probably one of the toughest years we've been through as a family, but church was our constant. I think my mom even brought it up. She's like, you guys have been through a lot, like as far as changes. And I'm like, you're right, we really have. Church was the one thing that we had that didn't change in the midst of all the changes that we experienced last year. So even though I think that I was more emotionally exhausted, physically exhausted, it was like, I cannot wait to get to church. Like, is it Saturday yet? I think you have to make that like intentionally your goal and say like, I want to go every weekend. I don't want to miss the message. I don't want to miss the smiling faces and the hugs and seeing my kids run around and play with their friends. And it's the community. It comes back to community. It comes back to having that one-on-one time with God. It's not that you can't have that without going to church. You can have that at home too. It just, you know, it's not the same as being on campus.